Open your Bible to Titus chapter 2, please. And there are notes in your bulletin. Some of you, I hope, if you have them. Titus chapter 2. I want us to stand together as I read verses 1 through 5. We're going to talk this morning about senior adults being the future of our church. And I don't know about you, but I kind of take issue with something. I was always taught that you were not a senior adult till you're age 65, not 55. So, because, you know, we're living longer today. So why are we pushing the senior adult age lower when it needs to be going higher? You know, some of you don't think you're senior adults. You're 75. So, you know, it's all a deal in your mind anyway, right? Okay. But I want to let you know something. No matter what age you are valuable to God's kingdom. And God has called you to work. And last time I looked, and I checked this week again, I can't find the word retirement in here. God's call has no expiration date, right? Amen. God's call is for life. So let me read these verses to you, and then we're going to talk about importance. Paul says to Titus, pastor at the church on the island of Crete, but you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for what you're doing today. Speak to us, Father, through your Spirit. Help us to have open hearts to receive the seed of the word. May it bear fruit today. As you speak to us, Father, may we respond. And help us to know, Father, that no matter who we are, no matter how young or how old we are, that you have a purpose and a plan for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. October 29th, 1998, the space shuttle Discovery blasted off from Cape Kennedy with a crew of 7. The unusual thing about this Discovery flight was that one of the crew members was 77 years old, and his name was John Glenn. Now, some of you know the name John Glenn. He was one of my heroes. He was the first American to orbit the Earth back in 1962. The media made a huge deal out of the fact that we're sending a 77-year-old man into space. Of course, John Glenn was a senator at the time. He had retired, but he was a senator. And many media outlets said, well, you know, it's too dangerous to send somebody that old into space. And what could he do in space? And it was just a publicity stunt, all those kinds of things. Well, after the flight, John Glenn proved them all wrong. He inspired our nation. And he reminded us that no matter how old you are, there are still things we can do. I love George H.W. Bush, who every year for his birthday skydives. He just did it this last year, and he's got Parkinson's, but he still does that. I think that's wonderful. A child came up to his grandmother one day and said, Mamma, how old are you? And Mamma looked at her grandson and said, Honey, I'm 39 and holding. The little boy thought for a minute and said, well, Grandma, how old would you be if you let go? I want to say to you this morning, no matter how old you are, it is not time for you to let go yet. We need you, no matter how old you are, how young we are. We need you like never before, and especially you senior adults. We need you to show us and to continue to teach us what it is to live a godly life. We need people in our day to flesh out what it means to persevere, what it means to be determined, what it means to live for Jesus, what it means to keep our vows until death do us part. We need people that are further down the highway of faith to encourage and challenge us and teach us and continue to serve. Our memory verse for today was already up on the screen. Psalm 71 verses 17 and 18. Great verse for you to, two verses actually for you to memorize. God, you have taught me from my youth and I still proclaim your wonderful works. Even when I'm old and gray, God, do not abandon me. Then I will proclaim your power to another generation, your strength to all who are to come. Now, I know some of us today feel, Pastor, I feel awfully unqualified to do that. I feel awfully intimidated by the task. Maybe some believe, well, you know, that's somebody else's job today, Pastor. That's time for the next generation to do that. We're just going to step aside. Or maybe some of us don't have the energy and the get up and go. Or get up and go, like one of my friends used to say, has done got up and gone, you know. But God doesn't give us a pass. There are no exceptions. For the reality is, folks, we don't have much of a future without you. You know, we really don't. Paul wrote to this pastor on this island of Crete, which, by the way, was a really, really difficult place to pastor. It was tough. And he challenged Titus to teach his people to live a life in that was consistent with their beliefs. To not just say that you believe, not just say that you follow Jesus, but actually live like it. And that's a challenge for us today, isn't it? A lot of people profess what they don't seem to possess, which is a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And in doing that, Paul tells Titus, there are four groups of people in the church that you need to instruct. And the very first two groups he mentions are the older men and the older women. Then he mentions the younger men and the slaves. But it's interesting and it's significant that he mentions senior adults as the very first group that Titus is supposed to speak to. And in this passage, there are three challenges, if you will, for us as senior adults or whoever we are. This can be teenagers. It really doesn't matter your age. We're going to talk about senior adults today, but you can apply this to you no matter who you are, for these things are important. If we're going to continue to make an impact, if we're going to continue to be usable for the kingdom of God, okay? Are you ready? In your notes. Number one, remain teachable. Remain teachable. Paul instructs Titus to teach or to say things that are consistent with sound doctrine. Now notice, his focus is not just to teach sound doctrine, but to teach these people how to apply sound doctrine, how to live sound doctrine. It's on the doing of the doctrine. Because he mentions back in verse 16 of chapter 1 that there are some who profess to know God, but deny him by their works. Know anybody like that? Who profess to be Christian, but whose life denies their profession? Whose lips say one thing, but whose life says another thing? Folks, listen to me. This is just an aside. This is free. You don't have to, you know, you ought to write this down, though, because I think it's really important. The teaching of doctrine should always lead to the living out of doctrine. It is not enough just to know what you believe. It is as important to live out your beliefs. Now, the first people that Titus is instructed to speak to are the older men and the older women. To be who God intended for them to be. They needed, in other words, to listen and to learn from Titus, a younger man, about what it is and to continue to be challenged to be godly people. Paul assumes in this passage that the older men and the older women are still able to learn. They still need to grow. They still need to change. And you know and I know that when you quit learning and when you quit changing, you quit living a productive life. Michelangelo finished the Dome of St. Peter's when he was 87 years old. Winston Churchill wrote his 4-volume History of the English-Speaking People when he was 82. Ben Franklin helped frame the Constitution of the United States when he was 81 years old. Just a few years ago, Joy Johnson ran the New York City Marathon at 86 years old. Ronald Reagan was 69 when he was inaugurated president of the United States and left office 1 month shy of his 78th birthday. Moses was 80 years old when he began to lead the people of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage. Folks, it's never too late to learn. God needs us to. There's always room for improvement. Don't ever get to the place where you think, I've learned it all, or I don't need to be taught anything. But always be teachable. Always be flexible. Don't get caught in your ways. Listen and learn. Learn from the next generation. They have something to teach us. We need to hear from them. Continue to learn from your peers. Continue to learn from the Word of God. Don't decide, well, I'm going to start sitting home. I don't need to go to Sunday school anymore because I've been through that enough. We continue to need to grow. And so, number one, if we're going to continue to make an impact, we need to continue to be teachable. Don't forget that. But notice in verses 2 and 3, he goes on to say that we also need to continue to cultivate a godly character. Notice that the lesson plan that Paul gives Titus for the senior adults have to do more with their character. It's more about who they are than what they can do, which ought to give us a great deal of encouragement as we get older, because we can't do as much, but that doesn't mean we can't be better. We can't continue to grow as godly people. Age may limit our physical development, but it doesn't limit our moral and spiritual development. Part of our role as senior adults is as much about who we are as what we do. Because, see, we need models. We need examples to follow, to learn from, who flesh out the faith and who finish well. Look at what he says to the older men. The things he said. This, is, by the way, is a great checklist for us as we grow older to make sure that these things are true of our life. He says, first of all, they're to be temperate. Now, that may have to do with being sober, because on the Isle of Crete, alcoholism was a huge problem. But the word literally means to be balanced, to be level-headed, to be sober-minded, to have no extremes. To be level-headed as we grow older. Secondly, he says to be worthy of respect. Folks, respect is earned. But I want to tell you something. Respect can be lost. And the Cretans were known, back in verse 12 of chapter 1, Paul says, Cretans were known as liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. So they had to work on being respected. But they needed to do that. Then self-controlled. The word has to do with being sensible. To have control of our passions and of our words. Not just speak out whatever comes into our mind or do whatever we want to do. But we have self-control. And then this final trilogy, he said, to be sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. To be sound, to be solid as a rock in what we believe, and to be solid as a rock in our love, and to be solid as a rock in our endurance. And then to older women, notice what he says, that are to be reverent in behavior. The Greek word here literally means to be priest-like, to live in a way that's appropriate to holiness, to be godly. Not slanderers. One translation has malicious gossip. Do you know what the Greek word is for slander? Diabolos. Which is used of the devil. As a matter of fact, the devil 34 times in the New Testament is called the slanderer. Demeaning, destructive, deceptive words are his main tool. And we get no closer to being his servants when we slander and when we gossip. And so Paul says to the women, don't be like the enemy. Next, he says, not addicted to much wine. Once again, the culture was all about drinking. That was just the way it was. And Paul tells Titus to tell the women, don't be addicted. Don't let something other than the Spirit of God control your life. Now, here it's wine. For some, it may be food. For some, it may be television. For some, it may be shopping. Whatever it is, don't let anything other than the Spirit of God control you. Instead, we're to teach what is good. the good things of life. And notice why. So they can encourage and train the younger women in the following areas: to love their families, their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, to be pure, to be homemakers, to be kind, to be submissive to their husbands. Now, does that mean women can't work outside the home? Nope. I don't believe that, because Proverbs 31 is very clear. That woman in Proverbs 31, she evidently worked outside the home. But I will say this. I think there is a need in the church today, in senior adult ministry or in women's ministry, for older women to teach younger women the things of God and the ways of God. We need models of women who have maintained a godly character and love their husband for better, for worse, and richer and poorer for years and gone through that. What it means to love their children during the good times and the bad times. What it means to keep a home, not just have a museum and fill up with finery, but to make a house a home. And there's nobody better to do that than the older women who have already done that, who've been there, done that, got the battle scars, got the experience. One of the things that this implies to us is that finishing well isn't a given. It requires diligence. It requires determination. You know, and I know people that walked with the Lord. They used to serve the Lord, but somewhere along the way, they dropped out. They fell. They got involved in other things. They're not living for Jesus anymore. And it happens among senior adults a lot. Alcoholism begins to go up when men stop their jobs and they need something. Don't let the devil catch up to you. Old pastor that I used to look up to, I still do. He's with Jesus now, but he used to say this. He used to say, folks, the devil will lie in the weeds for years waiting for an opportunity to attack you. You better believe it. Don't think because you're 60 or 70 or 80 that you're not, that you're all of a sudden immune to temptation. You're not. Don't think that the devil says, well, you know, they've gone this far, I'm just going to leave them alone. He doesn't, does he? Some of you could testify to that, couldn't you? Listen to what Hebrews says. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. These verses make great checklists for us senior adults to make sure that we're running with endurance. Because I don't know about you, but at my funeral, I want some pastor to be able to stand up and say with integrity, Brother John fought the good fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith. How about you? Then there's one more thing, and then we'll wrap this up. We need to look for opportunities to teach and encourage the next generation. Paul emphasized here the role of older women teaching younger women more than the older men teaching the younger men. And the reason here is because it was more appropriate for the older women to teach the younger women than it was for Titus to do it. But that doesn't give us men a pass, because to Timothy, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2:2, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This role, this task of passing on the faith and passing on our values to the next generation is emphasized throughout the Bible, and is hugely important, not just in families, not just from grandparents. And what a wonderful testimony of a grandmama and grandfather and what Jim said today. That's a great thing. But folks, it also is important in the church to the next generation. Listen to Psalm 78 verse 4. The psalmist says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will teach the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and about his mighty works. Moses encouraged the people to repeat God's commands to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Folks, I don't know where this idea came from that only young people can teach young people. That's not true. It's a myth. Listen to me. The most effective, the best youth workers I ever had were both in their 70s. As a matter of fact, the best children's workers I had in my last church, the most creative children's workers I had, were both 75, I think, weren't they, hon? They were wonderful people. Wonderful people. As a matter of fact, you stop and you think, probably the people that made the most impact in your life were probably 50 and above, weren't they? Now, that's not saying that young people can't teach. We need young people to teach. But it is saying, listen to me, and especially you older men. Can I just let you know from a pastor and from somebody who's been a part of a church all his life? We need men to teach and to model and to mentor. We don't need little boys and girls growing up to think the only people that are committed in church are older women, which is what I grew up with. I never had a man teach me in Sunday school, had women. Nothing wrong with that. I never had a man teach me in Vacation Bible School. Grateful for women. I'm thankful for women. What for women, most Baptist churches would screech to a halt. But I think it's very important. And I think we've missed something. And I think that may be why a lot of guys leave the church when they get to be 18. It's because they've never seen a man in a Sunday school class, as a child, or at Vacation Bible School. Our boys need to see real men who really love Jesus and who are real men teach and model and mentor them and help them. Now, there's nothing wrong with women doing that. I'm grateful for us to do that. But what I'm saying is, we need as this generation to look to the next generation, to look for opportunities to encourage them, to train them, to teach them, to do our part, to make sure that our faith is passed along. And let me just wrap this up real quickly with words to our younger generation here. Number one, get to know the older members of our church. They're some of the funniest people I know. They're some of the funniest people I know. What was it? Was it Laura? You said that, didn't you, at the mission deal. You said, you know, our senior adults, they're pretty cool people, you know. Spend a week with them. Got to know them. Spend some time. Talk with them on Sundays. Invite them to go out to eat with you after church. They'd love that. You know, invite them into your home. Get to know them. You'll be amazed. You may meet some of the best friends you've ever had. You may have some grandparents that you didn't know about, some aunts and uncles, some people that'll be there for you. Encourage and affirm our older members. Look to their example. Thank them for their faithfulness. Seek out their wisdom. Seek out their advice. And then remember that you're going to be one. You're going to be a senior adult one day too. You know? And you've got a responsibility. And we're to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, right? Remember, before very much longer, you're going to have gray hair too. You're going to be a senior adult. And so here's the bottom line. The call to follow Jesus has no age limit. It has no expiration date. As long as we live, as long as we have breath, we're called to give our best to the Master. To remain teachable. To continue to cultivate a godly character. And to give our life in service to the next generation. To, as one group used to sing, pass our faith along. Pass it along. How are you doing at that? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I'm not talking about knowing the church or being a church member, those kinds of things, but knowing Jesus. Do you have a personal relationship with Him? If you don't, then you can start today. No matter how old you are. Pastor, somebody one time said, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. It's been too long. I've had the privilege in my ministry of baptizing a 90-year-old man. What a wonderful testimony. Listen to me. You want to set an example? I'll tell you, set a great example. For some of you that have never committed your life to Christ and you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, go ahead and do it today. Because that'll say something to the next generation that if he can do it. I had a 60-year-old deacon one time get saved. And you know what happened in the next 3 weeks of in my church? We had 20 people get saved that were church members. Because they saw the example of that man who said, you know, I want Jesus more than I want to be popular. And people got saved. Listen to me, folks. No matter who you are, what age you are, Jesus loves you. He's got a wonderful plan for your life. Caleb walked with the Lord faithfully. And in his latter years, when they were giving the land to the people, you know what Caleb said? God, give me the mountains where the giants are. There's a guy that served the Lord and was faithful to the very end. Will you do that today? Will you be faithful to the very end, serve the Lord? You can do it. Jesus will help you do it. Some of you today need to just admit you've lived your life apart from the Lord. That's called sin. To break his commandments, the greatest of which is to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbors yourself. And you need to come to the place where you believe that Jesus died for your sins on the cross. That he died for you, to forgive you, to give you eternal life. But it's not enough just to know that. At some point you have to repent. You have to turn from doing your own thing and turn to Jesus and receive the gift of salvation through faith by trusting him, taking him at his word. And you commit your life to serve him with his help for all your days. Have you done that? Have you really done that? Well, I've been baptized. That's not what I asked. Have you committed your life to Jesus? Have you turned from your sin? Have you placed your faith in him and him alone? Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, great. I am too, but that doesn't matter. That's not what it's about. It's about knowing Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, today I pray for each person in this room. Thank you so much that your call doesn't have an expiration date. No matter who we are, what we can do, we've got things to do. You've called us to serve. And one of the greatest services is just to set a wonderful example for the next generation. One of the most faithful prayer warriors I have in my life was 90 years old. Told me, Pastor, I can't physically do much anymore, but I can pray. And I can't get out, so I'm going to spend my days praying for our church and for you and for salvation of lost souls. Oh, Father, help us today. There are some in this room that have walked in the church. They have been baptized. They may be church members, but they never have known you and the great love that you give. Father, whatever our need is today, help us. Some need to be baptized. Some need to come to be a part of this church. Some need to come and give their life to service. They may be 50, 60, 70 years old, and they're tired of just doing the things that the culture says we're supposed to do in our retirement. They want to have a retirement that counts. God, show them how we can serve, what they can do. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. As we stand together and as we sing, I invite you today to give it all to Jesus.
Just as I am.